I consider this an honor. I want to thank Pastor Denise and Pastor Mrs. Hagen for letting me be here tonight. But this is the first time I've been here with this huge, gigantic podium, which is bigger than me. So if you just don't see a person, but you only hear a voice, just know that I'm still here, okay? I may be walking back and forth, and you just can't see me because of the podium. Let me just say one more thing. Don't we have a great worship team? Aren't they awesome? I appreciate Cynthia, Anthony, and Holly so much, because if it wasn't for them, I'd be up here doing every service. So I'm very grateful for them, but our worship team does a good job. And then I just want to throw one extra plug in for this Easter production. Yes, there are no tights. Thank God, because nobody wants to see that, right, Esther? Nobody wants to see that. So there are no tights, but we do need men. We need a few good men. It's hard to have 12 disciples if you don't have enough men. So men, please go sign up. There's a sign up right up in the back. Please go out there and sign up. I want you to go to Psalms 150. And it really, I really want to just, it's really one verse that I really want to get to, but I've never in my whole, and I've been in church all my life, I've actually never seen anybody go to Psalm 150 and just pick one verse out and say it. So just because of church tradition, we're going to read the whole thing, all right? And so just out of church tradition. So it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. How many of you know we serve a great God? And it's not just great, it's excellent. Excellent greatness. The difference between just regular greatness and excellent greatness is you can't be better than excellent. Come on, y'all got to get a hold of that. You can't be better than excellent. It says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. That's for all drummers out there. This is the scripture I wanted to get to right here. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it says, praise the Lord. How many of you are breathing in here tonight? Okay, so there's a couple of you who didn't raise your hands, and I'm just going to kind of guess. You're figuring it out right now. You're breathing. Like, everybody in this room is breathing. And so let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let me tell you something that's really interesting about this scripture. This scripture tells me something that I think is pretty neat for us all to understand. That means that inside of every one of us, there is something that wants to give praise. That means it is built in inside of us from our maker, from the very beginning, that we as people, as long as we are breathing, we want to give praise. Now, that's a powerful thing. In fact, unless you just woke up, you know, before you came here, most of you have probably given praise to something in the course of the day. Maybe you were watching a football game and you gave some praise. Like, yeah. Maybe you ate a really good lunch and you gave some praise to that lunch. The idea is not necessarily what we should be praising or the fact of whether we should be giving praise, but how much of who we're giving our praise to. I want to make sure I say that again. I want to make sure you understand that it's not just about, you know, what we're praising, but it's who. And so we can give praise to a lot of things. We can give praise to just this Friday. This Friday, I was at Shipping and Receiving, and they got lunch. And I wouldn't mention the restaurant, but I'm just at the beginning of the sermon, so I don't want you to check out and start thinking about food. But it was a really good restaurant, and so it was Jason and Lisette, and they went and got food from a place, and then they brought food for another employee, and they were praising the food. Come on, they were praising it so much, and I'm standing there, and I'm a little hungry, you know what I'm saying? And so, but they were praising it, and every time they took a bite, There was an element of praise that came out. Took a bite and it was like, that you didn't know that praise could growl, right? That's a praise growl. And so every time they praised it so much that I kept, all I could think about was their praise about the restaurant that they were talking about. I thought about it so much that I just had to call my wife and spread their praise around. I said, Chris, man, you got to agree with this restaurant. She's like, I know. The reality of it is that when we praise, there's nothing that we can praise. And I want you to grab this phrase right here. There's nothing that we can praise that can help us better than God. I want to make sure I say that again. There's nothing. And all the things that you praise and all the things that you lift up and everything that you exalt in any area of your life, because that's what praise is. It's a measure of exaltation that we add to our life. There is absolutely nothing that you could ever exalt anything in your any place in your life that can help you better than God. In fact, most things that we praise don't help us. Let me say that again. Most things we praise don't help us. So now, here's the idea. What am I here today? Well, Pastor Hagin really said everything I wanted to say. So I'm just going to play a clip from what he said this morning. I'm just kidding. But it's the idea of understanding that in the moment that we praise, and he said this morning when he was talking about us thriving into this next year. And one of the categories he gave was praise and worship, and how do you listen to praise and worship and your installation of praise and worship in your life. And adding that element of praise, because it's important then that as we install the element of praise inside of us, because you realize that what you put in you is what comes out. Come on, let me say that again. What you put in you is what comes out. And so if you determine to put praise in you, then praise will come out. So I'll tell you a little secret. I'm a preacher's kid. And so you know, you grow up in church and parents have strict rules. Amen. I'm a parent now, so I can say amen. And so parents have strict rules. And so the rule in our house was no secular music. None. Now, I'm the oldest, and you know, the privilege of being the oldest, I had my own room. So I'm going to go ahead and tell the truth now. I hope my mom's not watching. But because I could still get in trouble today. It doesn't matter if I'm 50 or not. I could still get in trouble. But I, in my room, you know, was jamming out to some of that music that I wasn't supposed to listen to real quietly. But then I went to college, and mom wasn't at college, okay? Mom didn't follow me to college, thank God. Mom didn't follow me to college. And so when I got to college, it was like, let's catch up on everything I missed, all right? And so literally, I went back and listened to everything, like, from 81 to 92. Like, it was, I covered it all. And so when I came home, you know, I didn't stop serving God. But again, the point of me telling you this story, it's an example of what you put in you is what comes out of you. And so, you know, after a while, I started to find some places in God that I wanted to go. And God started having a pull on my heart, and he started pulling me in certain places. And what I found, as insignificant as it may have seemed that it was just music, it had a pull on me. And that in order to walk the steps out that I needed to walk out, guess what I had to do? Well, I had to drop it. Come on, listen. Hold on to your convictions right now. This is between you and God. We'll let y'all work that out when y'all get done, all right? I'm just talking about me right now, all right? And so as I let that go, what did I gather? Well, I picked up worship music. In fact, you know, I tell people all the time, people are like, who is your mentor in worship? And I say, Ron Canole. He's never talked to me one day in my life, but I watched so many videos of Ron Canole that I feel like that's how I learned how to worship. That's it right there. But as I spent that time listening to worship music, it changed what was around me. It changed. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about what praise changes with you. Because there is something that happens that when you determine that you want to have the element of praise in your life, it actually changes the atmosphere around you. The first thing that praise will change for you is it will change your awareness. See, according to the things you praise, you're aware of the thing you're praising, right? You know, when Jason and Lisette were praising that lunch, we were all aware of the lunch. And so the thing that you praise will be the thing that you become aware of. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 30, and as you're going, or chapter 32, and as you're going to Exodus chapter 32, I'm just going to kind of give you a little history lesson of what happened to these people. Because as we get into chapter 32, these people, this group of people of Israel who had just been delivered, the first thing that's happened to them is they've been delivered from Egypt. And that's a wonderful thing. On the path to being delivered from Egypt, they had a couple of things that happened for them. One of the things that happened for them is, you know, just happened to part a Red Sea so they could walk across, use that same sea to stop their enemy from chasing them. Just happened to help them win a battle against the Amalekites who were trying to stop them. I don't know, just happened to give them food every day. Split a rock so that they could have water. These are all amazing miracles that God did for the children of Israel, right? And so you would think that those amazing miracles would keep them aware. Come on, you got to catch what I'm saying. It would keep them aware of who God is. But yet the praise wasn't, the miracles were happening for them. Because come on, we know we serve a God who will take care of us. How many of you know we serve a God who sometimes will take care of us when we're not even taking careables? That's not a real word. But, you know, we're not able to be taken care of. God will still take care of us. And so he's still taking care of them. But the one thing that's eliminated from them is their ability to pray. So then we get to chapter 32, verse 1. And it says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back from the mountain. Moses went up to speak to God. God, just so you know, God came down to speak to all of Israel, but he was so big, they couldn't handle it. And they were like, Moses, you go do it. So now Moses is gone. He's talking to God, and he's been gone so long. It says, they gathered around Aaron and said, come on. They said, make us some gods who can lead us. They didn't say make them a god. They said some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. And so if you go on to the rest of that chapter, what did they do? Well, they took all the gold that they had. They built an image of gold to become their god. See, because they didn't praise God, they didn't continue to leave the praise of God of the Red Sea, and they didn't continue to leave the praise of God from the food that they were getting every day, and they didn't continue to leave the praise of God that was in their mouth. They didn't leave it there in their mouth. They decided to forget about it, and then at the moment where they needed something, I mean, God was unaware, guess what they did? They found another god. So the idea is that if you can somehow manage to keep God in your thoughts, guess what? You will be aware of God all the time. But guess what? If you decide not to put God in your thoughts, you're going to replace him. Man, I want to say that again because I think that's really serious. Because we may not recognize within ourselves the things we praise and the things we worship. I do this in class. I tell them two categories. I want you to give me top five categories of the things that are most important to you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go ahead. And we know that God, you're students. God should be number one, right? It should be. So God should be number one. And then next category, top five things that you spend your time on. Because when you get to it, you'll find out that the thing you love the most is the thing you maneuver the time for the most. The thing you worship, the thing you praise, the thing that matters most to you. Come on, that's the thing. Come on, right now you're all thinking about, like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? But the thing you maneuver the most, that's the thing that, are you maneuvering time in your life to spend time with God? Are you making, are you sacrificing something somewhere so that you can get time with God, so that God could be there with you and you could be more aware of God, and you being more aware of God will leave his praises in your mouth. If you don't leave his praises in your mouth and you become aware of something else, then that will become your God. That's the danger of all this politics stuff that happens. Because it becomes what you speak about, it becomes what you talk, and then it becomes your God. And there's no praise that you can give to any political person that will help you better than God. Amen. Come on, you got to grab that. There's no praise for any political person that will ever help you more than God. In your worst situation, the awareness of God will change what you say. It will change what you do. It'll change how you act. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. As you go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, I'm going to give you another little history lesson here. This is David. And David at this stage of his life, he's running. He's running for his life. The king of Israel wants to kill him. He wants to kill him. So his best way to get away from the king of Israel so that he doesn't kill him is he has to go live with the enemy. He has to go live in the Philistines. So he goes and he makes a house with the Philistines. So now while he's doing this, you know, he's living with the Philistines and he's lying to the Philistine king. He's telling the Philistine king that he's out, you know, destroying Israelite people, when in reality, he's actually out destroying the enemies of Israel. And he's bringing back all of their plunder, bringing back all of their stuff. And when he goes to the king is like, man, he must really hate Israelites. But he's not actually fighting Israelites at all. He's actually fighting the enemies of Israel. So now the moment comes and, the Philistines are going to fight the Israelites. And they're like, David, come on. You're going to be our best champion. I want you to come out. And so David now has to get up and gather all his men. And he's on his way to go fight against the Philistines. And I don't know what David would have done when he got there. But, you know, God sometimes will get you out of some of your stupid decisions, right? Okay, I'll just talk about me. God has gotten me out of some of my stupid decisions. And so, you know, as it came, the rest of the Philistines didn't trust David. They were like, look, man, that guy's going to get out there and he's going to turn on us. And so they sent David home. They sent David back home. Well, what happened to David while he went back home? Well, one of the places he stopped at Amalek. And Amalek, you know, kind of came. They came through his town. They burned all of his houses, took all of the wives and the sons and the daughters and all the cattle and all the stuff and took them. And so when the men came back, they came back to their houses being burnt and their families being gone. And it says in there, if you go back a little bit further, it says they wanted to whip. They wept so bitterly till they had no energy in them. If you want to know the place of sorrow that they were at, they cried till they could have no more energy. And then we get to verse 6. Verse 6 says, now David was greatly distressed for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. At this moment, David, who years before this has been anointed king. He's been anointed king of Israel. This is the moment of him being king. You know, he's kept enough contact. He's even in the middle of not necessarily doing everything right. Come on, if David is the greatest proof that we don't have to live a perfect life, right? And God will still use us. Come on, let me say that. I want to say that because you're not perfect. Just in case you're wondering. Let me be the first to bust that bubble. You're not perfect.
And so in the middle of that, he's not living. But you know what? The one thing that he's doing, he's maintaining who God is. Come on, we've got a book of Psalms that talks about him maintaining who God is. He's always staying in contact and in constant contact with God. And what I always love about David is that he stayed in contact with God, and he didn't have the same situation that we have. See, in order for God to speak back to him, a priest or a prophet had to come to him to tell him what God said. And yet, he still talked to God every day as if he was right there. Why? Because he was. And he was aware enough that God was there regardless whether he heard from him or not. And his awareness kept what? His praise in his mouth. And that praise that stayed in his mouth at his worst moment, the moment when everything is gone, he's brought all this men and they got stones in their hands ready to throw it at his head. Like, you're out. You're done, fella. And at that moment, they're ready. Guess what he has? He has enough knowledge of who God is at that moment to be able to strengthen himself in the Lord. He's had enough praise and enough practice of who God is to remember, man, this situation is not bigger than my God. It's the power of having praise in your mouth, because that praise that comes out of your mouth comes out where? It comes out of your heart. And the most important place, and this is the second thing that it does. The first thing is it makes you aware. And the second thing is it helps you with your thoughts. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. That if you maintain praise in your mouth, not only does it make you aware of who God is, but it also helps you how you think. I'm going to start with verse 8 and then I'm going to back up. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate. What should your thoughts be on? Well, there's a nice little list right there. Now, when you back up, I want you to back up to verse 6. At verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Man, if I could keep praise of God in my mind and in my heart, guess what it'll do? It'll change how I think. It'll change how I think. If you go a little bit further in that scripture, it talks about Paul learning how to be what? Content. He's learning how to abase. He's learning in the good moments. Because come on, you know, the good moments mess us up too, right? You know, when we're doing good, we're like, I don't need God. I'm doing so good right now. We don't think about God in the good moments because everything is going good. And Paul said later, I learned how to abase and I learned how to bow in all ways. I learned how to be what? Content. He learns how to find a steady place of contentment. Why? Because he knows who's working on his behalf. It's the power of praise and maintaining the power of praise. And if you could maintain the power of praise, that power of praise will work you through every situation with an awareness of God and with the right thoughts that you need to get through that situation. There's a couple more things as I wrap up. I just want to say here real quick. The praise is not just something you say. It's something you do, right? Daniel chapter 3, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar, I call him King Nebi. King Nebi built this big, you know, statue, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. And he didn't have anybody just go tell everybody how good the statue was, right? He wanted everybody to have an action of praise so they could do what? Bow down. But there's something about the action of praise that does something really neat. I just want to do this real quick. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The key phrase that I want to capture there is, we are his workmanship. If you go to chapter 19, the Jesus is coming in and he's got all these disciples, and the disciples around him, and they're praising him like, "Yay, Jesus!" They're praising him for all the good works that he's done. And it says that the Pharisees asked him, "Can you get your disciples to stop praising him?" And he said, if they would stop praising him, even the rocks would cry out. And you ever think to yourself, how does a rock cry? Has anybody ever seen a rock cry? I've seen rocks make people cry. But I don't know if I've ever seen a rock necessarily cry before. But it's amazing that if you've ever been a place where you've seen some of the most beautiful rocks you've ever seen, it's amazing how it displays praise of who God is. Because just like an artist, when an artist paints a picture or does something really nice, guess what it does? It actually lends itself to praise of the artist. You are his workmanship. So guess what? In the moment where you keep praise inside of you, you as his workmanship then begin to give him honor to people who see you. So now they're looking at you going, "Ooh, what's going on there? Ooh, that looks like a little praise happening there. Why are you praising?" And so you get a chance to then take your praise and give it to someone else. So just to take you real quick back to my lunch story. And so you know, they're sitting there and they're eating it, and they're like, "Oh man, this is good." And you know what? Jason thought, "Man, this is so good." He goes, "Let me cut you off a piece." And so what he did is he cut him off a little piece. Not going to tell you now because I'm almost done. That Kava, they went to Kava, and he cut off a little piece. Come on, stay with me. Don't go nowhere, all right? And he cut off a little piece, and he handed it to me. And the praise went with what he gave me. Come on. Because when he gave it to me, it tasted as good as he said it is. Imagine that if our praise of God tasted as good when we gave it to somebody else, when we showed it to somebody else, when we talked to them about how good our God is. And we could take off a little piece of who God is and give it to them and show them the greatness of God. So not only can our praise work within us, our praise can then do what God asks us to do, which is be witnesses. Witnesses. Your praise becomes contagious. And if there's ever something that you want to spread to somebody else, man, let it be your praise. Let it be your praise. The power of praise has the power to change inside of you situations and let you see things the way God sees them. And that is the power of what praise has to do for us. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. If you're in here tonight, I've talked about the power of praise. And I've talked about the power of what God has done for us. But if you're in here tonight and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step to getting on the good side of what God has for us. That's the first step to walk into this life that God has made for us. And what I don't want to do is I don't want to leave this place without giving you an opportunity to do that. So if you're in here, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And if you're in here tonight and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to, let me tell you, it's the greatest thing that you could ever do in your life. But it's really simple. It's simple. It's a two-step thing here. The first thing you have to do is just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ not just died for your sins, but he was rose again with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. And then once you believe that in your heart with a simple confession of your mouth, you are saved. And you step into the glory of God, into the purpose of God, into the place of God that he's made you. And if you're in here tonight and you haven't done that and you want to do that, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're in here, you just want you to slip your hand. We're not going to embarrass you, but we just want you to slip your hand up. We just want to give you the opportunity to make the greatest change in your life. Father, you know every person that's in here. If there's somebody in this room who should have raised their hand or wanted to raise their hand, Father, I pray, Lord, that you give them every opportunity to show them how much you love them, to show them how much you want them in your family. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that if that person makes that effort, Lord, that you open every possible door for them to walk through so that they can come into your kingdom. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to encourage you guys tonight. I want to encourage you as, you know, we come to church on Sunday. We have a wonderful time, don't we? We have a wonderful time. And then we go to Monday. And then Monday kicks in. And so you could either look at the world for whatever it is around you, or you could look at the world through the eyes of God. And one of the ways to do that is by keeping his praise in your mouth. You keep his praise in your mouth, it makes you more aware. Makes you more aware of who God is. Amen? I'm going to ask the prayer workers to go ahead and come down. Everybody, if you could please stand. Just stand with me here. What key are you in? You're in B flat? Man, come on. You're killing me. Man. B flat. Actually, I have to think when you say B flat, man. And how great is our God. And sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great and how great is our God. Come on, sing it one more time. Get the praise in your heart. How great and how great is our God. And sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great and how great is our God. Can we just declare this name above all names? You're the name above all names. You're worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, and how great is our God. Come on, declare that out. Name above all names. You're the name above all names, and you're worthy, Lord, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Never let any circumstance take the song of praise out of your heart. Amen. Amen. God is good. If you need prayer for anything, we have prayer workers who are down here. If you wanted to raise your hand and you didn't, and you want someone to come and pray with you, we have these workers who are down here. We ask for the men to come to the men, the ladies to come to the ladies. Make sure you're here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And if you want to not wear tights and still be in the Easter play, please go to the North Lobby and sign up. You guys have a great night, and we'll see you on Wednesday.